So this Kyler Murray story just keeps getting weirder and weirder. But don't worry, Aggie friends. We have a very cool giveaway for you to make you feel better. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. You want to get in today? 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jongy Football. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday. Actually have football tonight. Weekend's almost here. Everybody should be in a good mood, right?
Kind of have football tonight.
Well, it's not great football.
It is the Rams.
Yeah, it is the Rams. But what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to power through. You're going to make the most of it because, I guess technically it's football. How do you feel about this new thing where John comes in and records us during the show?
A little creepy.
It throws me off.
It does, but you know what? If it's that's the big thing now.
The very first segment he comes in here.
Yeah.
Can we come back?
Yeah, come back later.
No, you can do it. All right, we'll sit down. You're fine. We'll talk about Kyler Murray.
Now you see, all of a sudden, Jong wants to actually produce the show and tell us what we need to talk about each segment.
Yeah.
So now I guess we have to talk about Kyler Murray.
Well,
even though we talked about him all day yesterday, Jong didn't want to come in here and get video of it.
No, in fact, he didn't come get video of us yesterday. What was up with that? Are we just doing this occasionally now, or is this
okay? It feels like it. All right. Jong's schedule, bro.
All right. Well, it's Jong's world, man. But the story came out today, and according to Sam Khan, ESPN, it's official that he is leaving. That, you know, obviously someone trying to talk him out of it didn't work. But apparently both Murray and Allen had trust issues with Sumlin, which is something we certainly speculated on. But from Tyler Gasper, he says, a significant factor behind the transfer is Murray and his family have lost trust in Sumlin and the Aggies coaching staff, which might be a veiled shot at Spavital.
Okay.
Sources indicated that a lack of trust in Sumlin played a role in Allen's decision to transfer from Texas A&M. Murray and Allen had discussed these trust issues weeks before Allen made his decision final. And then, as if on cue, Kyle Allen tweeted out earlier today, trust is the one thing that prevents any relationship from breaking.
Damn, son.
What a wise young man.
You want me to tell you what Kyler Murray tweeted about this? Oh, wait.
Wait, you're blocked.
Yeah,
Never mind.
Sorry.
So, obviously, there were some issues going on there with the staff, and so I'm sure promises were made. We see it all the time in college football. Oh, you come here, you're going to get this opportunity, and we'll let you do this. And the problem is, if you get two highly recruited quarterbacks, you promise them both are going to start. It's not quite going to work out.
It's always nice when one of them, like, flames out and sucks.
Yeah, that makes it easy.
Yeah, it makes it pretty easy. But, you know, there was a lot of when Chris Sims and Major Applewhite had their thing at Texas, it was a similar situation. And it kind of divided the locker room in some ways. And that's just part of the deal, though, man. Like, big-time recruits are promised things, and it's not always fair, and it's not always truthful. But you can't – if you promise the same thing to everybody, there's only one quarterback on the team. There's only one spot. It's not like linebacker where you can say, all right, we're going to play you here and you here.
Yeah, because if there's a better guy, you could still find another position to get the kid on the field, and he gets to play. But quarterback, there's only one. And
I've been saying I don't think this is as much of a Kyle Allen, Kyler Murray issue – as it is a Texas A&M
Kevin Sumlin issue,
coaching staff issue.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whether it's Sumlin or Spavital or combination or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I think this comes down to them, and this is – it's not a good look.
I guess we should throw Kenny Trill into that combo too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kenny Trill.
Who?
He's still a thing? Is he still playing football somewhere?
He's up at TCU.
Okay.
He's not playing
Trilling
this year.
Trilling out.
Yeah.
Getting ready to trill out next year, right?
I'm assuming so.
He's so trill.
That'll be his job next year, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But, no, I think it's a bit of a concern that you've now lost three of these guys. And what does that say to recruits that are looking at going to A&M?
Well, it's not saying much to the kid out of Vegas who apparently seems strong that he's coming, which makes sense because, you know, there's nobody to block your playing time now. But I think it's telling players at other positions, this isn't what we signed up for. You know, there's a lot of guys who were coming there to play. Presumably, Kyler Murray was the Gatorade High School Player of the Year. I mean, this is probably the biggest recruit Texas A&M football's had. And he's gone.
Certainly in a long time.
And he's gone. You know, it went pretty fast, and I think that's giving people some pause or giving some of these recruits some pause.
Yeah, I don't know because Myles Garrett was a pretty big recruit too, but as far as quarterback goes, yeah, you're not going to do much better than that. So I don't know, man. It's certainly a bad look, but we have good news for our Aggie friends.
Give me good news.
Apparently we have Music City Bowl tickets to give away.
What?
Yes. It's in Nashville. I don't think we have hotel and stuff. We'll get you the details, but we're going to do it on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
But we've got tickets to the game. So if you're an Aggie who wants to go, you were thinking about going, maybe you're on the fence. Well, this is going to be your chance.
There you go.
So, see, we're going to do nice things for you, A&M.
That is really nice, man.
Well, I didn't do it. Somebody.
I did it.
You did?
Yep. You're welcome, Aggie fan. I thought you Aggie fan who think I'm such a bad guy, an a-hole, you're welcome. I'm giving you Aggie tickets. This was all my idea. It's all my doing. You're welcome.
I was just reading what the email
that
sent
email
me.
Was incorrect, inaccurate, and false.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
An email or your partner, Fred?
Well, I know you have such a great connection to the great university that is at Texas A&M.
Not just the university.
That's where you got him.
Not just the university, but to the people there. Like, I'm a man of the people. Like, when I go to College Station, the relationships that I have with the people there are solid. You know, I walk the streets there and people high-five me all the time.
Hmm.
I'm actually a big star there. A lot of people don't know that.
Really? They like that you call them Aggie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. 713-780-ESPN.
I sense doubt, but that's okay. You want to doubt?
You know, all I know is what I hear every day when we go back and forth with our A&M friends on the air.
Right.
They don't seem to be as high on you, but you know, I could be wrong. One of our listeners who has some contacts of the program just sent me a message and says it's more of the staff and not so much someone. But
well, someone's in charge of the staff.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You have guys in there that are not doing the job or that the players don't respect, then you've done a bad job of hiring. And that's such a huge part of being a head coach is hiring the right guys. You have to be a manager in addition to being a game planner and everything else. And that's why you see a lot of guys fail, not that they can't coach, not that they don't know what they're doing, but they don't know how to hire, and they don't know how to manage, and they don't know how to get their guys under control.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then that still comes back to Sumlin. And, you know, let's be honest, most of the time these kids are spending with the assistant coaches. So it is on the head coach to kind of to work through that. But we'll see what happens, man. I think this is a bad look for Texas A&M. Jong, was that good? Did we get enough Kyler Murray for you?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah? So you're happy?
I'm indifferent. I don't really care about Texas A&M football, but that was good. Content was good.
Okay.
All right. Sorry you don't care. Now you cared enough to come record us.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a good topic over the last couple of days.
Okay. We're just trying to keep you happy. You understand that, right? That's why we're here. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I guess we have Craig Way next segment, so we won't take calls until 4:30 today.
Speaking of Texas A&M, no?
No, it's the wrong Texas.
It's that other school.
The one without the A and
that
the
That other school in Texas. Yeah, I wanted to talk to Craig. Craig's not working. He's working, but he's not doing his radio show today. What he is doing is he's here in town for the high school football stuff. So I was like, you know, this is a good chance for us to talk to him about what was going on with that offensive coordinator hire, what sense he gets is going on at Texas with Charlie Strong and the recruits there. And we'll talk to him about there's a couple of Houston teams playing for state championships this weekend as well.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of cool that we actually have all these state championship games here. I'm not interested in any of them.
I'm not either.
But
you know who loves it? My dad.
Really?
Yeah. My dad all day long. I mean, I found the channel for him. He had a hard time finding the channel, the Fox Sports Southwest channel on his dish today. But I found it for him, and he's like, this is where I'm going to be for the next 2 days, just watching high school football. He loves it. I don't know why, but he loves it.
Yeah, that's
good for him.
And there are people that enjoy it. I kind of find it a little masturbatory. It's like if it's your school or you have relatives on there, you care. Although I know a lot of people, especially since we've been talking about recruiting, a lot of people like to watch kids that they know are going to their school. But beyond that, it's hard for me to get real interested. Oh, but
can't do it.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break. We come back, we'll talk to Craig Way about that. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We'll get to your phone calls next segment, because this segment, we have one of the most recognizable voices in all of sports in the state.
He's got prodigious clout, Fred.
He does. He does. Your old partner in crime, Craig Way. What's up, Craig? How you doing, man?
Hey, it's great to be on with you guys. AJ will never let go of that prodigious clout that you make one home run call at Omaha and you're branded for life. You know?
I love it. I would get Fred, or I would get Craig to say this all the time on our show, but we'd play that audio because that was one of the legendary calls. I don't even care about college baseball, but I just love hearing Craig use words like prodigious clout. That makes my day. Craig, I wanted to get you on today. I know you got a lot of going on with high school football, but I hate that you work at the same time I do typically, because when stuff's going on with Texas football, I can't bring you in to talk to you. So I'm relieved, actually, that you're away from Austin for a day or two. So thank you for taking some time with us.
My pleasure. You know, I'd love to be on with you guys. You know that.
What were your feelings about how the whole offensive coordinator thing went down at Texas, and what do you think was the cause for the stumble there?
Well, I think it was a little bit messy. I think most folks would agree with that, but I think there were some unintended consequences and some things that came out of it. Sure, the first target was Sonny Cumbie. There's no question about that. And then after the conversations, for whatever reason, there have been several different guesstimations and quotes as to what his reasons were for deciding to stay in Fort Worth. And all along after that, Charlie's next target, and I had known this, and I heard from a couple of folks inside the program, that the other target was definitely Sterling Gilbert, and had been from the start, based on him having that very sound and exciting offensive mind and coming from the Art Briles coaching tree. Plus, the guy was a West Texas kid. I say kid, you know, we were joking when I was talking to him the other day, because I remember going out to interview him for the old High School Extra show in 1994 when he was the quarterback at San Angelo Lakeview. And of course, later he coached there. This is a guy who is rooted in Texas high school football, and that always bodes well in terms of at least familiarity with high school coaches, which of course equates to increasing your chances, no guarantees, but increasing your chances for better recruiting. But again, there were some snags. I hear there were some folks within the athletic department who might have had some conversations with him that were different, and the impression he got was different than what he had originally thought was going to be the case when he had visited with Charlie Strong. And it basically took Charlie and athletic director Mike Perrin and university president Greg Finbus said, "How can I help?" And Charlie said, "It wouldn't hurt if you went with us." And so they all went up together on the airplane to get it all sorted out, and they got it all sorted out.
Was this sort of a thing, I guess in the case of Cumbie, I heard the rumors that Texas was not willing to guarantee Cumbie that Charlie Strong was going to be there after next year. Do you feel like Charlie Strong maybe is sort of on life support and this is sort of their last-ditch effort with him?
I think it was a popular muse to throw out. I think it was that. I've gotten to know Mike Perrin well enough over these last 3 months to tell you that he is completely galvanized in his support behind Charlie. And so far, what I've, the brief conversations I've had with Greg Finvis, the university president, is that he's taking Mike Perrin and Charlie Strong at their word and backs them as well. Now, I know it's easy and probably popular for a lot of folks to say, well, they must not have the support. That's why this thing got messy and that's why it was a problem. But all I can tell you for sure from talking to Mike Perrin is he, from the start, had said he was behind him. Let me give you another example, AJ. Originally, before the season began, I was due to go to China to broadcast the Texas basketball game against Washington. That was a Steve Patterson move. He wanted me to go, even though the football team had a game in Morgantown. Steve Patterson thought it was important because it would, you know, lead to better international branding of the program and all that sort of stuff. When Mike Perrin stepped in, he'd been on the job maybe a week, called me at home and said, "Tell me about China." And I said, "Well, I'm supposed to go, blah, 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 blah." And he said, "You know," he said, "would you have any problem with going to West Virginia to do football?" And I said, instead, and I said, "No, Mike, West Virginia and China are both foreign countries to me anyway, so I'm fine with either." He said, "Well, I wouldn't want people to think that anybody is bailing on the football program, including my play-by-play guy, because we're not. Nobody is bailing on this man, and everybody's behind him." That was back in September, and I think his support has only been stronger, even through the difficult times of the season.
Craig, what high school games are you doing here this weekend?
First one, and they're running a little bit behind right now, but the first one will be the 3A game between Cameron Yeo, which is, you know, they're in Cameron, taking on Brock. And the unique element of this is that Yo's going for four in a row. So, yeah, people are saying four in a row for Yeo. I think that's their thing. Brock is a team that's only had a varsity football program for 3 years. They were a high school basketball dynasty. So it's a unique thing there. And then tonight you have Wascom from East Texas going for back-to-back wins. And they play Franklin, who's in the state championship for the first time. AJ, you're going to like this. Tonight is going to be throwback football. You've got triple option from Wascom against slot T. And I know you remember seeing some slot T football when you were doing the high school broadcast in the greater Austin area, and that's what Franklin runs. And I've got two 4A games tomorrow, and then, of course, the two 6A games, which will include North Shore, and it'll include Katy. North Shore against Westlake from the Austin area, and Katy against Lake Travis from the Austin area. So that should be a lot of fun, a lot of games this weekend.
I'm glad to see Dallas get shut out of the big boy games. That makes
first
me happy.
First time since 2000, and interesting. And Westlake stopped Allen's run at 57 in a row. So maybe all they had to do was get the games to Houston to change this dynamic.
You know, Craig, the first game you're calling today, that Cameron Yeo game, was almost a matchup of my family members, because, as you know, Nick Ziyechek, who was a walk-on there at Texas a couple years back, he's now the offensive line coach there for Yeo. And
wow.
There are a couple of kids at Mineola High School that are now A&M recruits, the Anderson boys, who also happen to be my cousins, and they just missed out playing each other in the state championship game.
You have like tentacles out everywhere, didn't you? You had what, a brother play at Hallettsville?
My brother played at Hallettsville.
You have family all over the state of Texas. Your family seeds have populated the greater whole half of East Texas, AJ.
And they're all good at football except for me.
Well, you're good at other things.
That's it. That's it. Craig, I appreciate you taking some time with us, man. I know you got a lot of work to do today. Thanks for stopping in with us, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you more close to football season, maybe here if the basketball team keeps going well. We'll talk to you later on closer to March.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be glad to do it. You know that.
All right, Craig. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
That's the great Craig Way.
Prodigious one.
Oh, I forgot to congratulate Craig. Craig's a grandpa now.
Really?
As of yesterday, Craig is a grandfather, and he his daughter was like, you know, I would used to give him grief about, I worked with him, I guess we're talking like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
That she was going to grow up and be hot.
Yeah.
Sure enough, she did. And she got married and knocked up, and now he's got a a grandson.
Wow.
So I meant to congratulate him, so congrats to Craig.
I don't know if I want to be congratulated when that time comes. I don't know that.
On being a grandfather?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great thing.
Is it?
Yeah, of course it is.
It's kind of the final nail in you being old, though. Because you can't really be young and be a grandfather.
You just have to accept it. You just have to accept it.
I refuse to accept it, man. I'm going to fight
it. You have to. You have to.
I'm going
to
fight it all the way.
Just wait till your son starts spreading it around everywhere.
Well.
He knocks up some chick. Wait, maybe, if you're lucky, he'll knock up someone like, Craig Way's daughter is taken. But some great man's daughter and impregnate her. That's the best way.
Well, when he gets to college, that kid's going to be trouble. I just hope he picks a rich one.
No.
That's all I care about.
Listen, in college, that's the time to make bad decisions.
Yeah, well, I make bad decisions every day. It's
true.
All good. You know, but I made better decisions in college because I didn't do anything in college except go to school and work.
Yeah.
I was being all responsible then. That's so I can not be responsible now. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. And lots of interesting stuff going on, and you know, not a ton of sports, so we might mix it up a little bit today. We'll just see how things go. But your phone call's next, so go ahead and get lined up. 713-780-3776 is the number. We shall be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Be happy to take your calls. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday. Got you a little UT going. Talked with Craig Way. We've had a little Aggie talk. Haven't really had a chance to talk about the Texans Colts yet, but we'll get to that. We also have Christopher Harris at 5:30 to talk fantasy football. And you talked with Donald Cerrone.
Donald Cerrone, yeah, he's not the best interview, I got to say, John. And, John, did you get the F word out of that thing?
I will now.
Okay, yeah, good thing. Donald, listen, I love to watch Donald fight. He was not excited about being up early and doing media today. Mm. It's just one of those days.
That happens. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And Matt Hasselbeck was back at practice today for the Colts. Looks like he'll try to go. We'll see how long he lasts. I mean, he's had trouble pretty much every game here over the last few. It's a 40-year-old man. I mean, it's a lot to ask. If he's healthy and right, and we see the same guy that we saw the first time they played the Texans, then I think the Colts are going to win the football game. But if he's not, and he's at 50%, and Charlie Whitehurst is out there, it's going to be...
God rest your soul.
Yeah. And it'll do is... I think the Texans should win this football game if Matt Hasselbeck is not 100%, and I don't think he is. Doesn't mean they're going to, because I don't know which team's going to show up. And if J.J. Watt's hand is as big a problem as it looked like it was last week and they're not able to get pressure, then I don't think it really matters. And they got to figure out a way to stop the run. I mean, the Colts can't run the football, but Texans can't seem to stop it. So we shall see. Jones asks, are y'all going to talk about how the Warriors are playing a different sport than the rest of the NBA?
Man, last night's a really, really good example of that. And I don't know. I feel like we say the same thing about this team every time we talk about them. It's just ridiculous. It's not fair. And you can't – there's no convincing me that they're not going to win the NBA title. And I don't remember the last time where I felt this strongly about that, you know, 20 games, 25 games into the season, where I can say, if nobody gets hurt, it's already over. Because nobody can beat them 4 times out of 7.
Can I throw a little curveball at that?
You can, but it's wrong.
Why don't you hear me out before you make that up?
As long as no one gets hurt, I say.
Have you noticed what the Spurs have been doing?
The Spurs are fantastic.
22-5, and they're still working LaMarcus Aldridge in.
Yep.
And they're managing minutes.
Yep.
It's going to be a much different team when you get to the playoffs. I think that's...
Spurs are 8-5 on the road, 14-0 at home. If they don't have home court advantage against the Warriors, who, by the way, are also 11-0 at home, if they don't have home court advantage, which at this point they're not going to have home court advantage, they can't beat the Warriors 4 out of 7.
I think they can. I think they can. As constituted right now, this, because we're not seeing the Spurs play their best. We're seeing the Warriors play their absolute best. And right now, I would still say the Warriors would be favored, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's no way in hell the Spurs would beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. Because I think, you know, it's easy to look at the sexy streak and what the Warriors have done to start the season and kind of ignore the fact that the Spurs are just kind of quietly going about their business and working.
Spurs are awesome.
And working a superstar in. And not, I mean, they're not out there playing guys the entire game. And neither are the Warriors. The Warriors are blowing people out, so they don't have to either. But I think if both those teams are healthy, I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think the Warriors will be favored. But I am not going to sit here and say there's no way in hell the Spurs would beat them in a 7-game series. Right. I think that's an easy thing to say right now. But boy, those guys play such good basketball. That's the series I want to see, because both those teams play smart, solid basketball at a high level. That would be a great series.
It would be, and that, I mean. You know, that and a presumed Cleveland finals would be the only two series that I'd even feel like I needed to sit down and watch.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything you need to watch before that.
But I still feel like those are the only two teams that could beat them.
I'm not even sure about Cleveland right now, but they're not close to what they're going to be either. But as far as the Spurs are concerned, man, you give me Popovich in a 7-game series with that team, I'll take my chances.
All right.
So, there. I've thrown water on it.
It's not enough. Not enough to put out my burning fire.
Well... You just burn away.
I'll sit here and burn. And now they're going to play the Bucks 6 days after the Bucks handed them their first loss.
Yeah, they're going to beat them by 100.
Oh, tomorrow's going to be so ugly. That game last night, Klay Thompson scored 27 points in the third quarter. 27 of his 43 points came in the third quarter. What are you going to do? It's just crazy. It's a cartoon what these guys are doing.
Yeah, they're basically playing EA Sports.
Yeah.
They're a video game. And
so Curry, okay, we talked about Klay Thompson, 43 points, 27 in the third quarter. Curry, 25 points on 10 of 14 shooting and 7 assists. Draymond Green, 16, 11, and 10, his fourth triple-double of the season. What can you do with that? How do you even stop that? 15 of 22 from the field for Curry, or excuse me, for Thompson, 10 of 14. So 25 of 36 from the field for their backcourt. It's just not fair. It really isn't fair. 46 points they scored in the third quarter. 46-19 was the third quarter line. Ugh. Those poor, poor Suns just showed up at the wrong building at the wrong time. No, that's a fun team to watch, and I know people around here don't like them because they're not the Rockets. Which, by the way, the Rockets, great news, they have the same record as the New York Knicks right now.
And as bad as they're still seventh in the West. The bottom of the West is not what it was.
How weird is that? If the playoffs started today, there would be two teams from the Eastern Conference with winning records that wouldn't make the playoffs. And there'd be two teams in the Western Conference with losing records that would.
Which is...
It's like...
Absolute role reversal.
Yeah, very strange what's going on.
And really, in the past, when we've talked about how competitive the West is, where you thought eight would actually have a chance against one some years, this year, no. I think there's three teams. Warriors, Spurs, and Thunder, and everybody else.
I think there's people who will say the Clippers too, but I think the Thunders...
Not for me.
Thunders and Clipper, that's a B group, I think. I think it's Spurs and Warriors, and then there's other teams.
And usually it's like 7 through 10 are all the same, but they're teams that are over 500.
No.
I think basically 5 through 11 are the same teams. The Mavericks, the Grizzlies, I don't know what's wrong with them. The Rockets, I don't know what's wrong with them. Nuggets, Jazz, Suns, Blazers, those are all just kind of the same teams.
Yep.
And it's very strange how fast that happened. And I think part of it, you know, the Mavericks have kind of been slowly eroding anyway, year by year. So I could see them. I mean, the Rockets completely falling off, the Grizzlies falling off. I don't think I saw those two coming to the extent that they have anyway.
The Rockets have lost 14 games. There's almost zero chance the Warriors lose that all season.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So the Rockets have already lost more games than the Warriors will this year. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Rockets are just aren't. They're not even. They shouldn't even be in the same building as that team was last year.
Yeah, honestly, there's nothing to be interested in the NBA until the Warriors and Spurs play in the playoffs. So I think we can just shut it down for the rest of the regular season. And the question is going to be whether the Warriors win 72, which if they stay healthy, I think they will.
Probably so.
And, you know, that'll be the series. And whoever wins that's winning the title. Let's try Mark. What's up, Mark?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, just going along with everything you're talking about, I completely agree that 14 games, the Golden State, nowhere close going to lose that many. Have taken almost all my interest out of any other team besides the Spurs, the NBA. And I guess overall, is such overall domination, in your opinion, good for the NBA? Because we're not going to talk about any other team besides the Golden State and the Spurs. And even in the Eastern Conference, I agree with you that LeBron is always a special factor, but it's tough to really talk about depending on what they're doing right now. But is this overall dominance fun? Because it's not fun to watch as a normal fan. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, listen, and this is the same way it gets sometimes. It gets that way with the Patriots every few years, and it looked like it was going to get that way again. It used to get that way with the Bulls, you know, when Jordan was there.
And that's the example I was going to go to, and the sport was extremely popular when the Bulls were good.
Yeah.
And people embraced them, and they picked up a national following. So there was interest in it. I think I have mixed feelings about it because you'd like things to be more competitive. But when you have a team like this, it was such a big deal that they lost a game.
Yeah.
That was nuts,
It was a bigger deal than the fact that they've won all these games in a row.
Right.
It's like, oh, they finally lost. That, like, I got a report sent to my phone from an app saying the Warriors lost a game.
Yeah. I mean, when does that happen in the regular season?
It just doesn't. And listen, this is I understand if you're not a Warriors fan, it sucks because it sucks when it's almost a given that this team is better than everybody else. It's not as fun. This happened a lot in the 90s baseball with the Yankees, and people got so sick. Every national game that they would show on ESPN was the Yankees.
Yeah.
And people were like, what the? But they were the best team. They were so far and away the best team. That's what people were interested in seeing. And it's almost like a sideshow to see how good they are. I think there's good things about it and there's bad things. I mean, this is 2 years in a row. Like, I thought last year the Warriors were historically good. And then this year they're clearly better. And if this goes on for a couple of years, make no mistake, people are not going to like it. It gets old in a hurry. But that said, I mean, it's almost ridiculous to do this 2 years in. It is ridiculous to do this 2 years in a row. I mean, if they're able to do it for more than that, I'd be shocked.
But while I think it's going to damage interest in the regular season in some ways, it's also increased it because people are talking about them.
Right,
and we're sitting here and. Frankly, there's not much else to talk about in this NBA season.
When the Bulls won,
Rockets suck and Warriors are being historically good. But I think it would make a Warriors-Spurs series in the playoffs one of the most watch ever.
When the Bulls won 6 of 8, I don't think the NBA was hurting. You know what I mean? And that's the most dominant dynasty of my lifetime, probably not of yours. But
I think so because, frankly, the Lakers Celtics took turns beating each other, and I wasn't around for the Celtics of the 60s. Sorry.
Okay. Well, six of eight is a ridiculous number, and if that would force, I mean, if anything's going to force you to lose interest, that'd be it. And the NBA was at its peak, and I don't know. I don't know if Steph Curry is. You know, I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's Michael Jordan, but I did see that he's on pace to join Jordan as the only players to ever average over 30 points a game and win an NBA championship. He's averaging 32 points per game right now. I mean, it really is a fascinating thing to see going on. It's not fun if you're not a Warriors fan. I get that. But if you're just a basketball fan, and even if you're not a basketball, like my wife was interested in the Warriors streak. She didn't care about basketball, but
right.
When you hear about a team going 24-0, you're like, how crazy can this get? I mean, now you kind of want to see, are they going to win 75 games, you know, which, by the way, isn't improbable at this point.
No, and I think the one difference is the Bulls were a big market team and a very flashy, historic, and Chicago, if you get Chicago, L.A., New York, you're always going to be bigger than anywhere else.
Right.
That, because if you put the Spurs in Chicago, for instance, we'd be talking about them a lot more than what we are. But I still think it's gotten a lot of interest in people, and I think it's been good. Now, if it keeps up, we'll see if it's still good for the game.
Right. Well, and I mean, Oakland, San Francisco, because San Francisco doesn't have a team. And San Francisco is kind of attached to that team as well. It's a big market. It's not
Chicago, but it's not
a sexy legacy franchise. And, well, I don't know if the Bulls were really before Jordan either. So that's hard to.
No, but there's just something about those top three media markets if you're good there. So it's for some reason, nationally, you get so much more attention. We still talk about the Bears as maybe the greatest team ever. Yeah. And I think that's just part of New York, Chicago, L.A. It's always going to be that way. But I think when
Houston passes Chicago in population,
I think it'll still be that way because it's going to be a bigger media market.
Because you know, no one's going to care about us down here anyway.
No, nobody cares about Houston except for us
because we're not winning championships here. That's why.
No, our teams are going 6-7 and playing for the division lead.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Thursday is the finals for the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game. So today is the finals for the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game. Join Raheel and the ESPN 97.5 road crew for happy hour at Champs in Uptown Park from 5 until 7. They'll have contest entries and great prizes for you to win, courtesy of Bud Light and ESPN 97.5. All right, let's try another phone call. Will, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
All right, how are we doing, guys? Sports.
Sports to you.
Yeah, so, guys, y'all talking about the Warriors. I just think in the finals, if they go up against LeBron with a healthy Cavaliers team, which is a big if, because Kyrie hasn't been healthy back dating since high school and only played like 11 games at Duke. We know his situation. But they won their first game last year, and Kyrie played hella defense on Curry, got a big block at the end of the game to win. LeBron won one by himself with Dellavedova being his second-best player, almost averaged 40 points in a triple-double. If he has Kyrie and Kevin Love, that final series would have been very different last year, and I think it'll be the same this year.
Maybe
if they're healthy, though,
if they're healthy,
that's a big if with Kyrie and Kevin Love.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie Irving hasn't been on the court this year.
Yeah, and what always worries me with things like that is, what's he going to be when he comes back? Is he going to be close to what we expect to see from him? If he's not, if he's 80%, 85%, never quite gets back to 100%, then they're going to be right back where they were last year, where it's LeBron and a bunch of guys that, aren't up to the task. And I think I'd love to see a healthy Cavs team, a healthy Warriors team, and a healthy Spurs team. The reality is the odds of all three of them being healthy when we get to the playoffs, 1%.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be gone from one of those teams, a key person, and it's going to have an impact. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
That's what I say. I wouldn't count out the Cavs. I mean, that's a series I'd want to watch, but I don't think the Cavs are beating this team four times.
Well, but there's such a long way to go, and as you said, if they stay healthy, but we'll see. I think there's a long way to go, and playoffs obviously a different animal. But the Warriors have already proven that they can navigate the playoffs, so it should be. It should be entertaining, but it's going to be entertaining in June.
Yeah.
And right now, it's like, okay, this is fun to watch, but I think the league is pretty top-heavy right now. And especially the way the Warriors are playing, it looks like it's really top-heavy.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, yeah, it's funny to me, the interesting things locally are, do you trade Dwight Howard, and why does this team suck so much? And it does seem like they're just grasping for answers, man. And is it going to shock you if they lose to the Lakers?
God, I mean, would it shock me? No. But that should never happen.
It shouldn't, but they've lost to bad teams this year.
Yeah.
And I see no consistency out of them. And as long as Harden is playing like he's playing and not playing defense and acting distracted and being very inconsistent, I could see them losing to anybody,
yep,
except the Sixers.
Yeah, and then we get asked on Twitter by Aggravated Man, if Harden continues not to play defense, would you consider trading him next year at the deadline? The problem is, it's very difficult to move a guy like that. It's very difficult to get equal value back. Because, listen, Harden's one of the better players in the league.
Absolutely.
But he's going to have 2 years on his deal.
If you trade him, you're not getting a star back for him.
You're not.
You're getting a bunch of pieces. And that's okay if you trade Dwight Howard and get some pieces, because we talked about this a lot. He's not getting better. If you get a good young player, if you get a Justice Winslow.
And he's also not what the franchise is built around.
Right. But with Harden, if you trade him, you're back to square one. What you need is for him to get his act together and start caring about playing basketball again and caring about winning. And if he does that, then I think the rest of the team will follow along.
Whatever kind of deal they could swing, you'd be disappointed in the comeback on him.
Yeah. You're never going to get value for a guy like that. And that's the thing. You said all along, if you're the Rockets, you have a chance to get this guy, you do it. But if you're building around him, you better have some other guys. Yeah. And they haven't been able to get the right guys around him.
Like, would you feel good if you traded him and in return you got Thaddeus Young and Jared Jack from the Nets?
No.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, and that's what you'd be looking at,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, nobody's going to trade you their superstar for James Harden. Because if you've got a player that's as good as James Harden, chances are that team feels better about what they've got than what you feel about what you've got with James Harden.
Yeah, and there's not that many teams that have a better player than James Harden. And they're not trading him, so...
And the ones that do, their fans aren't looking to trade that guy.
No.
Yeah, you think the Warriors would be interested in trading Steph Curry for James Harden?
Not a chance.
No way.
Not a chance.
No way.
And that's...
What about the Spurs? You think they'd give up... how about Aldridge? You think they'd give up Aldridge? Nope.
Nope.
No.
Oklahoma City's not going to give up Kevin Durant.
Would the Pelicans give up Anthony Davis?
No.
No way.
Yeah.
You know, there's just... Nobody's doing it. When you have a superstar, usually you like that guy. He's your guy. You know who might do it? Bulls might trade you Derrick Rose for him.
Yeah.
You want that?
That's probably the best you could do.
They'd be willing to make that deal. Sure.
I think they would, yeah.
Sure. See what you can do with that guy.
Yeah. Good luck.